Our scripture today comes from Exodus 14 and verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. I'm not a big fan of the walrus look there, so I just come down here. How is everyone? Good. That's good news. That is really good news. So those of you that haven't been here, we have been going through a series. It's entirely on Exodus chapter 14, which is leading up to and then eventually passing through the Red Sea. So if you wanna know what it is that's been said in the past, you can go to the Sutherland website or YouTube channel. Are they archived at the website or just the YouTube channel? Anyway, you can go back and see them if you want to. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to review, and those of you that have actually been here for them, no one will be able to recite them word for word, right? The previous Red Sea rules? Okay. All right, so here are the first five Red Sea rules, because today we're on Red Sea rule number six. Okay, so number one, can anybody tell me what Red Sea rule number one is? Okay, yeah, realize that God means for you to be right where you are. That's number one. Number two, be more concerned for God's glory than for your relief. Number three, acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Number four, just one word, pray, but with an exclamation point. Number five, stay calm and confident and give God time to work. And today we're going to do Red Sea rule number six, and that is, when unsure, by the way, are any of us less than sure at times? So this is a message for all of us then. When unsure, just take the next logical step by faith. So that's number six. But before we go further, I would like to just have a word of prayer and just ask the Spirit to open our hearts and minds. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you did send your Son on the wings of a dove. And thank you for that song. And thank you for the assurance that with us gathered here today, you're there right here in the midst of us. May the Spirit come into our hearts and minds and please speak to us. And Lord, I especially ask that the messenger would be taken out of this message, and may your words ring clear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say, amen. So I'm just before I start, does anybody know what the word axiomatic means? I didn't either. I had to look it up. So this is a quote from Robert Morgan, who wrote the book, The Red Sea Rules, and here it is. It is axiomatic that God generally leads his children step by step, provides for us day by day, and cares for us moment by moment. So, by the way, axiomatic is unquestionable. That's actually what it means. So, of course, I thought to myself, then, Robert, why didn't you just say it's unquestionable instead of axiomatic? But that's the word he chose, axiomatic. So now, in Trivial Pursuit, you guys have one more little tool in the tool belt for Trivial Pursuit. When they ask about axiomatic, you'll know it's unquestionable. So we need to learn that God is going to move in three main ways, and we need to move with him in these same ways. And it was, according to the quote, day by day, sometimes step by step, sometimes literally moment by moment, is how we have to learn to walk with God. So Exodus 14, this is our verse for today. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." And so here's the question. When God said this, what was the condition of Israel in terms of geography? What was behind? Behind. The Egyptian army, and they were not too happy with Israel being let go. And up in front, the Red Sea. On either side, cliffs that they weren't going to be able to scale even close to in time. And that was the condition. And God says, go forward. And they're like, well, we really hope we all can swim across here. Just logically, we were hoping that we could swim across here. But Israel had no ability to even get to the wilderness because the Red Sea was in their way. There was nothing that they could do. And they definitely, without the intervention of God, were not going to be able to go forward. Can we agree on that? And so when they came up against trouble, Israel did something. And we talked about this last time, but just as a reminder, Israel cried out to God, but they didn't cry out to God with the best of attitude and the best of understanding. And here's the good news. God still heard. And God still moved. And so when we don't necessarily have the best motive, best understanding, it doesn't feel quite like we're moving forward exactly the way we should, God still hears. So don't think that based off of how good you do it, that's going to make God move in a certain way. Because God's not looking for us doing it perfectly. He's looking for us simply to cry out to him. Because he's the only one that can answer. Isn't that good news? And Israel, do you think that they needed to, in this instance, they needed to understand that moment by moment they had to have a faith in God, realizing that it was only God that was going to be able to save them from the situation that they're in right as we read this scene? So, here's a question for us. At times in our lives, are we the reason that we're up against a Red Sea situation that only God can get us out of? That's a really tough question to wrestle with, isn't it? Because yet God led Israel out in this situation, but what if our Red Sea situation that we face is actually us putting ourselves in that situation? And I'll say this again, the good news is even when we put ourselves in situations that then God is the only one that can get us out, he's still willing to do it. That's our God, by the way. Yes, thank you very much. So the book of Nehemiah has a statement, and I really like the way the Living Bible stated it. So I'm going to share it from the Living Bible. It's Nehemiah 9, verse 19, and it says this, but in your great mercy, you didn't abandon, this, by the way, this is referring to the situation, the scene that we're looking at. Nehemiah is referring back to the scene that we're looking at in Exodus 14. But in your great mercy, you didn't abandon them to die in the wilderness. Isn't that good news? The pillar of cloud led them forward day by day, and the pillar of fire showed them the way through the night. Whether we see it, they had a physical manifestation all day and all night of God. But Jesus said, blessed are the ones that don't see and still believe, and that's us. So we don't have the pillar of fire, we don't have the pillar of cloud, but what we do have is the assurance that God walks with us still. We have that assurance. So the first point is he works with us and walks with us day by day. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, just the last part of verse 21. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing to the Lord, accompanied by loud instruments. God wants us just like the priest. There was the daily that was going on within the sanctuary service. We don't have time to unpack the sanctuary service because we'd be here for, Paul preached unto midnight, and I probably would too, to even barely touch the surface of that. So we're not going to. But there was key to making certain that every single day there was a praising of and a seeking after God himself. And 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. God is saying that every single day, his mercies are new, and he wants to renew each one of us day by day. Have you found at times that suddenly you're in a place to where you go, man, I left God behind? And I think every single one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, would say that maybe even for a couple days, 3 days, I just simply left God behind. And this is, I'm going to keep beating this drum. And there's God standing right there saying, but when you stop and turn back toward me, I'm right here. Because as human beings, if people walk away enough, what are we going to do to them? We're going to turn our back on them and we're going to walk away too. But guess what? God never, ever walks away. Ever. So there's John Henry Newman. He was wrestling with some unresolved issues in his life. And these issues took a big emotional and spiritual toll. And he took a trip to Italy for rest. And while he was in Italy, he had a severe sickness that confined him to bed. When he improved, he booked a trip aboard a sailing ship. In the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, the wind stopped. It's interesting how in Sabbath school we were talking about, you know, the wind and the waves obey Jesus. And so here we are going to talk about the wind stopping. But one thing that it gave John time to do while it was going nowhere was for him just simply to think and to seek God. And alone in his cabin, he just wrestled with God until he gained victory in his heart over these deeply spiritual and emotional issues that were going on inside of him. And out of this wrestling match came these words. Lead kindly light amid the encircling gloom. Lead thou me on. The night is dark and I am far from home. Lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet. Do not ask to see the distant scene. One step is enough for me. Have you found yourself, at times wanting to know 15 steps ahead? And sometimes what we get is simply enough for today. And sometimes enough just simply for the next step. Sometimes that's all we get. I want to share this little part of a hymn, and I think you guys might recognize it. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I meet to find my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. And I will tell you that this world is absolutely positively set up to be a place that is fearful. I mean, just look around us. And this world is set up to be a place of fear. But we are told that the Lord will actually be one who can take away fear. Because love, perfect love, his love, casts out all fear. And that's good news. And sometimes we also need to learn to just simply step by step walk with him. This is from a man named John Ritchie, and he said this: it was a path where faith alone could walk, and step by step in faith they trod it until the shore was reached. Again, referring to the Red Sea experience. And so it was literally just walking in faith for the next step. So before the Red Sea parted, what had to happen? One step of faith that was actually moving toward the waters themselves. One step of faith. Again, from Robert Morgan from the Red Sea Rules, we're never sure what will happen a year from now. Is that safe to say? We have no idea what's going to happen a year from now. But the next step is often more or less obvious if we'll think about it. So when facing any vexing problem, make up your mind to prayerfully take the next logical step by faith. And it's key because I could take a step, and I can take a step that's clueless. But a clueless step can take us right over the cliff, can't it? But a step of faith will never take us over the cliff. It'll take us in the pathway of God. Psalm 119:105, I think probably all of us could probably say this together. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So how many of you guys have those flashlights that, like, in the dark, if you were to shine that flashlight, it would blind somebody? You know, those, like, really high lumen flashlights? So I have one at home. I think it's like 5,000 lumens. You'd be seeing for a week this bright spot if I hit that thing right at your eyes in the darkness. It is one of those really bright flashlights. But it says, your word is a lamp to my feet. And this lamp that it's referring to was a lamp that would probably be like a couple of lumens. What did that mean? This particular lamp, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You know how far that lamp or that light would light up? Just enough for the next step. That's what that lamp right there was. It just gave enough light for the next step. So it wasn't 5,000 lumens, that's for sure. C.H. McIntosh said this. He was speaking of the Red Sea crossing. God never gives us guidance for two steps at a time. I must take one step, and then I get light for the next. This keeps the heart in abiding dependence upon God. Because I think sometimes if we get too far-sighted, we forget what's going on in the here and now. And God simply says, I want you to learn to walk with me in the here and now. Is that difficult for most of us? You know, I have to say this. I think sometimes in our humanness, the reason that we struggle with that step-by-step experience is because I struggle with wanting to control it. I want God to do what I want him to do now. But in perfect dependence on God, guess what? Only he controls it, and we walk by faith. It's hard, but that's what God desires from us. So how many know the name Dale Carnegie? You know the name Dale Carnegie? Carnegie Hall, right? Extremely wealthy individual. So he wrote a book called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. He wrote that book. So let me ask you, do any of you worry about anything? None of you at all? No, all of us do. But so he describes a medical student that was anxious about everything that had to do with the future. Where am I going to work? What's going to be the difference that I'm going to make in this world? And what about? At 2 o'clock in the morning, some of us are actually going over some of this stuff. Any of you, 2 o'clock? Is that your time of choice? 1:30 a.m.? 3 a.m.? 4? Yeah, so hers is 4 o'clock. See, one honest soul. He's worrying about everything. In fact, he worried so much that he was actually moving straight toward a medical student, by the way, straight toward a nervous breakdown. That's how much he was worrying. But in the spring of 1871, he read 21 words that changed his life. And the words were from a man named Thomas Carlyle. And here they are. Our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. So there's two things that we need to, in order to be able to live those words right there, we need to do two things. One, we need to let go of the past. Because the past can haunt us in the present. But we also need to realize that we can't do anything about controlling the future. All we can do is walk by faith with God today. And these words moved Sir William Osler to become one of the most famous doctors of his era. He was knighted by the King of England, and some of you may recognize this school of medicine. It's called the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Sir William Osler was one of the founders of the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. So all that anxiety, what am I going to be to this world? Well, he started one of the most probably famous medical schools probably in the world, in Johns Hopkins. And Matthew 6, verse 34, again from the Living Bible, says this: "So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time." And I'm going to just take a little editorial here and just say, live one step at a time sometimes. Sometimes live just one step at a time. So when the communists overran China, missionaries were scrambling literally for their lives to get out of the country. And Isabel Kuhn was one of them. She and her son Danny set out on foot over the dangerous snow-covered Pianma Pass. And she arrived in Burma with no money, no plans, and no ability to speak the native language. She was in a really, really tough spot. And she was an entire half a globe away from her home country, the U.S. She was in a difficult spot. And this is her statement. "I cannot tell you the dismay and the alarm that filled me." But she did this. She made two decisions. The first, "I will, by God's grace, cast out fear in the name of Jesus Christ. I will cast out fear." That's the first thing that she did. And she shared this thought: "The only fear a Christian should entertain is the fear of sin. All other fears are from Satan, sent to confuse and to weaken us." Have you felt that weakening effect sometimes? How often the Lord reiterated to his disciples, "Be not afraid." And it's, by the way, Old Testament and New Testament, hundreds of times in some form, "Don't fear, be not afraid." Hundreds of times, Scripture wants us to not move forward in fear. And her second was this: to seek light only for the next step. And that's what she chose to do. She had no idea how to get out of Asia, so she just simply said, "Lord, I'm going to take the next step, which is try to provide for my family right here, right now." And that approach, with God's help, allowed her to provide funds, food, and safe shelter for her and her son until God was going to provide a way to get them out of Asia and back to the United States. So she eventually found a way to communicate with the outside world, and finally, after many months, was able to arrive back on the shores of the United States of America. But what she had to do was she had to deal with the here and now in order to be able to accomplish the arrival in the safe place of the United States of America. Because if she tried to do all of that in one giant step, it was never, ever going to succeed. She had to, step by step, take the journey, literally for her, one footprint at a time. And eventually, by God's grace, guess what? She did reach the shores that she wanted to reach. And so did Israel, didn't they? Because they wanted to reach the opposite shore that was going to take them to the promised land. And sometimes, the last one is, we have to learn, sometimes it might actually have to be an experience that is moment by moment walking with God. There's a story that's told of a woman that her husband was murdered. And her prayer to God was, Lord, help me to know what to do next and to be calm enough to do it. Sometimes we get put into situations to where our minds, when your mind is not calm, how good of decisions do you make? Anyone want to volunteer that? Not good ones. Not good ones. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, Saul was sent to check on his father's lost donkeys. And this was used to have Saul meet up with Samuel. But yet, the donkeys, even though they were lost, that was just simply a means of God getting him to moment by moment be led to his next step. But he didn't even know that he was even being led to that next step. He wasn't even aware of it. And sometimes we might not be, but guess what? If we're walking by faith, we know that God is moving us down the path he intends, not necessarily the one we know, and definitely not control. And what happened when Samuel and Saul met up? Saul was anointed the very first king of Israel. And we never know what the plans of God are, do we? We never know what the plans of God are. He also outlined that if you were to follow these things, you will have success as king of Israel. Of course, we know Saul's story. Saul walked outside the path of God, and what happened? Disaster for Saul. But as long as we stay within the confines of God's path, even when we don't understand it, that's the only place that we can have success. It's the only place. As long as Saul followed God moment by moment, then he was safe. And if we follow God moment by moment, we're safe too. Amen? Just like the children of Israel at the Red Sea. They had to trust God moment by moment as they pressed further and further into the Red Sea. Now imagine yourself in this situation, because number one, there had to be one step of faith. And in that moment, you're saying, Lord, I don't really want to swim in these big robes. By the way, their clothing was not conducive to swimming. You realize that, right? They would have sunk like rocks with the way they dressed back then. But in that moment, that one step of faith went forward. Guess what happened? The Red Sea split wide open. Split wide open. And when we take that step of faith, God will split the Red Sea wide open. There's a hymn. It's actually Moment by Moment. And it says this: never a trial that he is not there, never a burden that he does not bear, never a sorrow that he does not share, moment by moment, we're under his care. And I will assure you of this, sometimes we're not going to feel like that. But I don't know about you, but my feelings have lied to me a lot. In fact, I have created feelings that were never, ever supposed to be there because I've created scenarios in my own head. And then when you come to it and then you go through it, you're like, it didn't even happen the way I dreamt about it 50 times at night. And some of you, I kind of can see smiles and you guys understand what I'm talking about. What if we had God less and less us putting ourselves in those types of situations, what would our lives feel like? Much better. Thank you, Susan. Much better. So, you know, I've never been at one, but I've seen them before. You know how an artist, they've finished the painting entirely, and it's all covered up and so on? And then with all this big just drama and suspense, and then whew, and then unveiling the painting in one just quick pull of the covering, here comes the painting. Wouldn't it be much better in our lives? It's like, Lord, the work is finished, and you just pull it apart, and there it is, and it's finished. And we go, great, thank you very much, and we're done. How often does it work that way? How often does it work that way? It usually tends to be more like this. God unfolds things as it's best for us to know at the time. Doesn't it seem to work a little bit closer to that? So it's not an unveiling with God, it's an unfolding of the circumstances so that we learn to walk by faith. And I don't like those moments. And neither do you. But here's the thing, God assures us that if we walk that way, then it's going to be something that is going to build our faith. If we're willing to walk with him day by day, moment by moment, step by step. But we have to trust one thing, that God knows considerably better than any of us do. So how many of you enjoy the journey? Like, so you have a, say, like for us to go visit family, it's about 7 hours of drive time. So if I could, I'd like to actually cut it down to 6 hours. Yeah, here's Nona going, yeah, I would. You'd be hammering, wouldn't you? But I think God actually wants us to have joy in the journey. And I'm still learning when I'm on I-5 to have joy in that journey. I really am. Let's get there, then we'll have fun. And the Lord says, let's walk together, and it'll be real fun. So A.T. Pearson wrote this, to go as I am led, to go when I am led, and to go where I am led. That's what God's called us to do. So we have to make sure that we don't doubt in the darkness what it is that God has shown us in the light. Because he's the same God. He doesn't change. Our perception changes. He never changes. So I want to leave us with this challenge, just this one challenge. Let's learn to let God lead us the way that only he can and that he deeply desires, so that as we're walking, we are walking in an experience that increases our faith. Let's let God be God in that way. Amen? Amen.
Closing hymn is 249. If you can, please stand.
Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. He suffered and bled and died. He our is the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the
I just want to thank you. You are so worthy of our praise. And Lord, may your praise more and more be on our lips. And Lord, every single one of us, please, I want to pray for all of us, increase our faith. May we be able to walk with you day by day, moment by moment, step by step. Because Lord, the times that we live in, we need to hold tightly to you like we never have before. So please, Lord, please help us to walk with you that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.